choices you make with your lifestyle, your money, every single day, influence your future. It is time to fight to make it better. This podcast is dedicated to you, sharing ideas that you can use to take ownership of your financial future. Most Americans have little or no net worth. By being purposeful with what we earn, I know we can change that, and we must change that. I want you to learn this game, better educated about your money, so you can live a better life. Welcome to Money is Personal, Briggs Financial Podcast. Let's go! Salutations, greetings, and hello! My name is Stephen Briggs. I am the owner of Briggs Financial. Welcome to Money is Personal, episode number 53, Credit Card Debt versus 401k. It's kind of like a prize fight. I got my fists going here. So I had a question come through the office here this week, and I think it's a question that comes up relatively frequently. And so I want to tackle it and hopefully provide some color on some things to think about if you find yourself in this sort of situation. So here's the scenario. I have $20,000 in my 401k at work and $20,000 worth of credit card debt bearing interest. It may have some big old interest rate. Should I cash out my 401k to pay off the debt? Short answer for me to you, probably not. And obviously you will want to work with an advisor to check on that question and answer. But my short answer is probably not. And let me explain why. First, I want to acknowledge why you want to do this. Having credit card debt is a big pressure. You don't feel like, in some cases, like you can catch up. You look at the balances, you pay the monthly minimums or whatever. You don't like the idea of owing them. Totally get it. You don't like the idea. I mean, and it looks tough, and it can feel tough if you start even thinking about your budget and spending and saving and that type of thing. It can feel like a very uphill battle to pay off credit card debt, especially when it gets to that level. And you're talking to a guy who, between his respective debts, had well over $40,000 worth. So I speak not only from experience of working with clients, I speak from the notion that I put myself in a bad spot about a decade ago as well. Furthermore, the idea of going into bankruptcy sounds absolutely terrible. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that bankruptcy is awesome. Bankruptcy sucks. Although there are two different forms of bankruptcy. Most people think of bankruptcy and they think of filing Chapter 7, which is what wipes out the debt and destroys your credit, taking away property, that type of thing. What people don't think about is Chapter 13. And what Chapter 13 is basically kind of a reorganization of your debt, which involves a repayment plan. Now, Chapter 13 has limits, but those limits are pretty high. You can't have more than $394,725 of unsecured debt or close to $1.2 million of secured debt to go into Chapter 13. Chapter organization is entirely possible. But nevertheless, those solutions, any of them, whether it's I need to hunker down and pay this off slowly over time, whether I'm going into Chapter 13 or Chapter 7, none of those sound good. This sounds easier. But there are a few key problems with your plan. First off, the $20,000 in your 401k, unless you are at least age 59 and a half, is not actually going to be $20,000 even worth of income. Even if you are over 59 and a half, you're still going to have to pay income taxes on the money you take out from the 401k. So if you're making 40, 50 grand or so a year, the tax bill on that is likely going to be in that 22% range plus whatever your state taxes may or may not apply depending on the state you're in. So right off the bat, you're behind. It's not going to pay off the $20,000 worth of credit card debt. Then on top of it, if you're under age 59 and a half, you are likely going to pay a 10% penalty for early withdrawal of that money. So again, you're going to see right off the bat another $2,000 just wither away. So this isn't going to do what you think it's going to do. But let's go a step further here. Let's say, oh, well, Stephen, I have 50 grand in there. I could totally do this. You could. And there are some people, and sometimes it does make sense, and this is why I said get an advisor involved, where people will borrow from a 401k as a means of financing if they've got a significant amount of debt, but maybe they also want to protect their equity as well, and so they end up borrowing from the 401k. Well, again, the slippery slope to all of that is you have to repay, when you borrow from your 401k, else it becomes a distribution. And then the other part of that aspect is that, it is, you've also got to nip in the bud what caused the credit card debt to begin with. Because at the end of the day, if you go and make a financial movement like that, and then proceed to rack up more credit card debt, well, now you've tapped a resource that you needed long term to live on, and you are now sitting with another credit card bill. So even that plan in and of itself doesn't work without really sitting down and looking at some hard numbers and getting your financial situation right-sized on a month-to-month basis. Excuse me. So that this all said, something that people also don't know. If you are so far down the hole, where the bankruptcy angle is looking like an option, what you have to know is that 401k accounts survive bankruptcy. So if you go and tap these accounts and use it to pay off, your creditors, and they get that money, that's it. And that's it. The thing is, if it's especially with it being credit card debt, if you go and file Chapter 7, they're not going to be happy that that happened, and it will destroy your credit score. But they cannot go after your 401k. They cannot go after your traditional or Roth IRA accounts. They can't go after any qualified retirement account. And so the thing is, as you get younger, the value proposition on this gets far and far worse. And it's typically younger people that I think end up tapping into this, although I'm sure this happens across all age brackets. So let me run through the numbers on this. If you're 65 and you were to just leave that $20,000 in your 401k until age 75, when you plan to start using that money, leaving it there and eating the bankruptcy, that $20,000 would grow, and I'm using a 9.4% S&P 500 index rate of performance over a period of 10 years. That $20,000 is worth approximately $49,000 to you. If you're 55, that $20,000 is approximately $120,000 for you. If you're 45, that $20,000 is approximately $296,000 for you. If you are 35, that $20,000 is approximately $727,000 worth of future value for you at age 75. If you're 25, that $20,000 is approximately $1.8 million at age 75. Just that little bit you've saved in over the first few years of your career, if you're a 20-something, has an enormous value weighed on down the line that you're going to want to have in hand, that's going to be very important to you. And it's going to be way more important to you than it is going to, than it's going to be important to American Express. I promise. Now, you may look at this and say, Stephen, I really don't like the idea of not paying these guys back. It doesn't feel right to me. I completely understand. And personally, when it came down to it for me, I felt the same way. So what I did was I took on three different jobs to pay, get my debts squared up. Because I definitely spent the money. And not all of it was necessary spending. There was some very unnecessary spending that happened in my life. And I spent the better part of 2.5 years paying these jokers down. Now, from a financial efficiency standpoint, I probably should have declared bankruptcy at that stage. Said, you know what? These bets are too much. There's no way I can pull this off on a job. I chose a different route. You know, emotionally, it made me feel good at the time. Financially, like I said, may not have made the most sense, but it was the choice that I made. And some people will choose that option. But what I would say is this. See, you may look at this and go, what if I take from the 401k now and put the money back in over a period of time? You know, or, you know, 5 years from now, I get it filled back up. It's just a few years, right? Well, one, keep in mind that, you know, contribution years are from year to year. So, you know, in terms of you contributing into the account, I can't go back in time and contribute for a prior tax year. The second thing aspect of this is, yeah, $20,000, you're going to get that done in about a year. You know, you say, because even if you put all in at once, a 401k contribution limit's $19,000 this year, so it's pretty close. Even if you waited 5 years, here's the numbers. If you, at age 30, put that money back in, yeah, you're going to have, you know, a good chunk of it. If it grows at that 9.4% rate for 45 years, you're going to have about $1.1 million. But if you subtract that from that $1.8 million that you would have had, that 5 years cost you $650,000. What most people don't realize is that we all start at the low end of that parabolic curve of compounding. So when we subtract years, it doesn't subtract from the front end of the curve. It subtracts from the big old back end of the curve where all the money's made. 1/3 of your returns in the last 5 years of investment. Oh. It's a lot of money. So this all said, let's break down what you need to do instead. One, if you can, work with a financial planner. Let's build a lifestyle that gets you out of that situation permanently. A lifestyle, and I'm not just talking spending, but I'm talking about earning as well. Let's get you in a pattern of spending and earning that lets you live your life and starts attacking that $20,000 worth of credit card debt and starts working to get you out. Part two to that. That may require you to take on more work. It certainly did for me. I mean, I could have waited and ridden on my one job, and it would have taken me 6, 7, 8 years on one job to pull that off. I did not want to wait 6, 7, 8 years of my life to kick out Amex and Sallie Mae or Navient, rather, or Visa, or any of those jokers, GE credits. I think Sears had some credit, you know, for some washing machine. I mean, come on. Care credit. Those jokers. Kick those people out of your life. Kick them out rapidly. Bankruptcy should be the last thing on that list. But what should not be on that list is cash out the 401k. Because, one, it survives bankruptcy. You legally, that money's protected. That investment you made's protected. And if the credit card companies are playing by certain rules, certainly you should be taking advantage of those same rules. And they know that going in before they lend you the money. They're aware. You're not robbing anyone. This isn't like you're sitting here and borrowing money from a friend and saying, well, I want to pay. No, these people make money lending money to people. Defaults happen. Is that what I want to see happen for you? No, because shredding your credit is a thing too. It's a, you know, a very painful one, and it takes a long time when you go through either chapter to rebuild your credit and be able to do things like buy a house, get a credit card, you know, whatever you need to do with your life. However, frankly, working in the financial industry, they check on that stuff. Have you had a bankruptcy? Have you had, you know, settlements and judgments against you? So in certain industries, making a movement like that, it can hurt your career, frankly. But that said, notwithstanding that, I look at the financial consequences of even just $20,000 over long periods of time with even moderately compounding interest, and it makes no sense to hand that. It's because you're not just handing them, oh, it's 20 grand out of my wallet. It's the fact, one, the taxes don't work that way. You're going to have to pay down that money. You know, it's not going to be as much as you think it is. And two, you're sacrificing anywhere from 10 to 40 or 50 years worth of growth of that money that you're going to need later on down the pipe. And that's not worth it. Whatever this amount of debt is, it is not worth it. There is a better path for you, and you need to explore that with a financial planner and work together on that to come up with a correct way to go about that. But by and large, short answer, if you're sitting there with credit card debt versus your 401k, you hang on to that 401k, and one way or the other, figure out how to handle the credit card debt. But do not tap that 401k. It is no good for your long-term future. On that note, that will conclude this week's episode of Money is Personal. Check that out. Now, obviously, we had this week's episode, but all the episodes of Money is Personal are available on the Briggs Financial website at BriggsWealth.com. Also available on iTunes, Spotify, Player FM, and iHeartRadio. Finally, if you have any questions or would like a free consultation, please email me, Steven@BriggsWealth.com, Steven at BriggsWealth.com, and I'm more than happy to sit down with you and talk about your situation. On that note, have a wonderful week. I'm Stephen Briggs, the owner of Briggs Financial. Thanks for listening. Take care, and we'll catch you next week with a fresh episode. Thank you for listening to Money is Personal, Briggs Financial Podcast. Please follow Briggs Financial on Instagram and Facebook for more terrific personal financial stories and ideas, and check out the firm's website at www.briggswealth.com to schedule a free consultation. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. This information is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Briggs Financial believes the information has been obtained from sources considered to be reliable, but does not guarantee the accuracy of the information being provided. This information is not meant to be a complete summary or statement of all available data necessary for making financial or investment decisions and does not constitute a recommendation. Please note that the information provided may include references to concepts that have legal, accounting, and tax implications. It is not to be construed as legal, accounting, or tax advice and is provided as general information to you to assist in understanding the issues discussed. Briggs Financial does not give tax, legal, or accounting advice. This information is not meant as financial or investment advice pertaining to your financial situation. Selection of appropriate investment or planning options and or strategies should be made on an individual basis after consultation with appropriate legal, tax, or financial advisors. Nothing contained herein is intended as a solicitation or an offer to buy or sell any product or service mentioned, and they may not be suitable for all investors.